It was March the 23rd, 1775. The Second Revolutionary Convention was meeting in Richmond, Virginia. And the colonies were debating whether they were to remain subject to England or if they were going to declare their independence. A tall, gangly lawyer from Virginia rose to speak for independence. Now, I don't have time to read his whole speech, but I do want to read the last part of it to you, but it serves as an introduction to my message this morning. He rose and he says, "Besides, sir, we shall not fight our battles alone. There is a just God who presides over the destinies of nations and who will raise up friends to fight our battles for us. The battle, sir, is not to the strong alone. It is to the vigilant, the active, the brave. Besides, sir, we have no election. If we were base enough to desire it, it is now too late to retire from the contest. There is no retreat but in submission and slavery. Our chains are forged. Their clanking may be heard on the plains of Boston. The war is inevitable, and let it come. I repeat, sir, let it come. It is in vain, sir, to extenuate the matter. Gentlemen may cry, peace, peace, but there is no peace. The war has actually begun. The next gale that sweeps from the north will bring to our ears the clash of resounding arms. Our brethren are already in the field. Why stand we here idle? What is that gentleman wish? What would they have? Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death." Every great cause has to have leaders. So it was in the American Revolution. Thomas Jefferson was the philosopher of the Revolution. Samuel Adams was the political organizer. George Washington was the military genius. And the lawyer who made this speech, a speech that lit the fire of revolution around the country, was known as the orator of the revolution. His name, I'm sure as you know, was Patrick Henry. If you read his biography, and it's a good read, you'll see that Patrick Henry was a man of simple faith. He was a member of the Protestant Episcopal Church, and he always came down on the side of God and Christianity. Here's a paragraph from his will. He said, "I have disposed of all my property to my family. There is one thing more that I wish I could give to them. That is Christianity. If they had that and I had not given them one shilling, they would have been rich. But if they had not that and I had given them the world, they would be poor." Tuesday is Independence Day. 241 years is how old the nation that Patrick Henry sparked to life. And I thank God we've had men in our history that have said freedom is more important than life. Freedom is more important than property. Freedom is more important than reputation. Men who were willing to say, like Mr. Henry was, "I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death." Now, in a spiritual sense, that's the only two choices we have. You see, in the American Revolution, they had three choices. They could declare their independence and hope to win the war and be independent. They could continue to remain as a colony of England and be in subjection to them, or they could die in their attempt to get that freedom. In Christianity, we only have two choices. It's either death or liberty. It's either slavery or freedom. The Bible says, and we read about it in our text verse this morning, Jesus said in verse 34 of John chapter 8, verily, verily, and he always uses verily, verily, those two words when he's trying to get people's attention. What he's about to say is important. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Whosoever committeth sin is the slave of sin. And so this morning, every single person here has a choice to make. And that choice, you either take the freedom that comes through Jesus Christ and what he did on Calvary, or you remain a slave to sin. Now, this morning, I hope you'll choose for the freedom. I hope you'll choose Jesus Christ. I hope you'll choose to shake off the shackles of sin and live your life in the freedom of eternal life that Jesus Christ gives. Now, I'm just going to read a couple verses this morning, and then I'm going to illustrate what I'm talking about. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12, the Bible says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now, Brother Jack, would you come up here and help me for a minute? And Brother Don, would you come up here and help me for a minute? Now, some of you might think, well, he's calling on those two guys because they go to sleep and he just wants to keep them awake. That's not true. Brother Don, you come over here and stand. And Brother Jack, you stand right there. All right, now, Brother Don's going to represent all of us. And Brother Jack is going to represent sin. I'm sorry, Brother Jack. I know it's poor cast typing and all that other stuff. But that verse that I read says, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world. That one man that verse is talking about is Adam. In the Garden of Eden, Adam made the choice to sin. See, the Bible says that Eve was deceived. But we know from the holy record that Adam knew exactly what he was doing. When he took of that fruit, it was a fruit that God had told him to avoid, a fruit that he told him not to eat. God told him, in the day that you eat that fruit, you will die. So Adam took the fruit. He ate it. He died. You say, preacher, he didn't die physically. No, you're right. He didn't die physically. But he died spiritually. Because when he disobeyed God, when he did something that God told him not to do, God had to break fellowship with him. God had to kick him out of the Garden of Eden. God could no longer fellowship with the man that he created for the very purpose to fellowship with. And so Adam died spiritually. He was separated from God. Now, when that happened, the Bible says, wherefore by that one man, sin came into the world. From Adam's time, every single person that's been born that's had a human father, and every single person that's been born since the time of Adam has had a human father with the exception of one. And don't you let anybody tell you that the virgin birth of Jesus is not important. It is important. Because if Jesus had a human father, he had the same sin nature that all of us was born with. He did not have a human father. He had a heavenly father. God was his father. And so he had no sin nature. But every single person, and again, Don's representing all of us, every single person that has a human father, which is all of us, was given at birth a sin nature. We have a couple little babies back. Murph's back there, and Valia's back there, and I can't see if there's any more babies back there, but maybe there are. There's some in the nursery. Sweet, sweet little babies. But you know what? They're all born with a sin nature. They were given that nature because they have a human father. That's what came with the sin of Adam. So all of us have that sin nature that we were born with. Now, you say, preacher, do you think little babies that die go to hell? No. I don't think little babies that die go to hell. They have a sin nature, but they're not a sinner yet. You see, you don't become a sinner. A person doesn't become a sinner until they face that first situation in their life where they know the difference between right and wrong. They know what the right decision is. They know what the wrong decision is. And they choose to do wrong. At that moment, the sin nature turns that person into a sinner. And the Bible says that we're all sinners. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so here's what happens in a person's life. Here's Don. Now, before he got to the age of accountability, as some people call it, he was still one with God. He was on his way to heaven. But when he reached that first decision where he knew the difference between right and wrong and chose to do wrong, how old were you when you did that, Brother Don? Never mind. 15 or 16? Oh, no. No. And it varies. It varies by person. I don't know that I could tell you when I committed my first sin. I know I have. I know I did. I can't go back and remember it. I can't go back and tell you what it was, but I know I did. I know I'm a sinner, just like the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But that moment that Brother Don, representing all of us, committed his first sin, knew the difference between right and wrong, and chose to do wrong, he became a sinner. And the Bible says that sinful nature that still resides in him, some people call it the old man, new man versus old man. I'll talk about the new man in a minute. And we're going to let Jack represent that sinful nature. Go ahead and grab him. See? And here's what the sinful nature does. It pulls him farther and further. Come on this way. Further and further into sin. Now, Don, like all of us, he probably has a conscience. He probably knows in some situations what's right and what's wrong. And even though he'd like to do right, he's a slave to sin. He can't break that bondage on his own. There's no way we can break the bondage of sin on our own. And so that sinful nature, pull him some more, Brother Jack, that sinful nature just pulls him deeper and deeper into sin. All right, you guys stay just right there. I'm not done yet. Okay? Move back over here to the center, Brother Don. Okay? Now, let me read another verse for you. Again, from Romans chapter 5. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Again, that's what we've talked about. Adam, when he sinned, we all got a sin nature. When that sin nature, we become sinners. We all fall under the judgment of God, condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Jack, come up here for a second. I need another helper, okay? The obedience that verse is talking about was the obedience of Jesus Christ. In Philippians 2:8, the Bible says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now here's the gospel. We were all sinners. We had a sinful nature. That sinful nature turned into sin when we made that first decision to do wrong as opposed to right. When, as a sinner, we are trapped by sin. We are a slave to sin. Even though we might know what's right, and even though we may want to do right, we can't, because we're a slave of sin, and that sin keeps pulling us further and further in, further and further away from God. But here's the gospel. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, left heaven. He came to live among men for 33-some years. And then he allowed mankind to take him and nail him to a cross. And on that cross, he paid the price for our sin. Listen. Every one of my sins was paid for by Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. And every one of your sins was paid on the cross by our Savior, Jesus Christ. My sin, not in part, but in whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. And so, because Jesus died, if we come to him and admit that we're a sinner, and believe that what he did on Calvary was sufficient to pay for our sins and to make us right with God, and ask him to save us, With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so Brother Don came to a point in his life, again representing most of us that are here this morning, where we knew we were a sinner. We knew we stood under the condemnation and judgment of sin. We heard about Christ. We heard about the one who died to pay for our sins. And we believed on him and we asked him to save us. And he saved us. You know what happened? We got a new nature. A nature of righteousness. Now, there's a war going on. Can you get over here closer, Brother Jack? And Brother Jack and oh, this is good. Jack and Jack.
A good one and a bad one.
A good Jack and a bad Jack. Okay. So grab a hold of them. Grab a hold of them. So here's what happens. Grab a hold of them. So here's what happens. You know, when we get saved... What are you guys laughing at? I haven't said nothing funny. Here's what happens. When we get saved, this guy doesn't go away. He still stays. We don't lose our sinful nature. We get a good nature, a righteous nature, and there's a battle going on. Now, both of you pull on him. Not too hard. We don't want to break him. But that's what happens. That's what happens. It's what happens in our lives as Christians. We got that old nature that wants to pull us into sin. We got that new nature that wants to pull us into righteousness. Which way do we go? The way we go is the way that Don decides to go. Because if he decides to side with righteousness, they'll come this way. Okay? No, you don't come. You stay over there. Now, but if he decides to sin, go ahead and I'll come over here, Brother Jack. All right. If he decides to sin, they're going to go that way. So pull him that way a little bit, okay? Okay, you guys can go sit down now. Thank you very much. Yeah, let's give him a hand. So that's what happens in our lives. There's that struggle that goes on. We've been saved, and but we still have that old nature. We got that new nature that frees us from the slave of sin. We can still side with sin, but we're never going to lose our salvation. It's an eternal work of God, and it frees us from sin. First of all, it frees us from the penalty of sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, not physical death, separation from God. When I come to Jesus Christ, I get the gift of life, eternal life. If death is separation from God, then life is being together with God. I tell people all the time, you don't got to wait till you die before you start enjoying eternal life. You got it right now. The Holy Spirit indwells you. Part of God indwells you. You are alive because God has taken up residence in your body. And so when we are free in Christ, we are free from the penalty of sin. Quickly, we are freed from the power of sin. I mean, before Don got saved, the bad Jack could pull him as much as he wanted into sin. But when he got saved, that old nature lost its power. That sinful nature lost its power, and it loses its power over us. We get to choose whether we do right or wrong. We're no longer a slave to sin. And then one day, this freedom will include the freedom from the presence of sin. There will be no sin in heaven. I mean, we got to fight it down here. Even the Apostle Paul says, hey, I know what to do. I know to do right, and I don't do it. And I know what not to do. I know it's wrong, but I do it anyway. Even the Apostle Paul said that. Now, if the Apostle Paul said that, all of us can probably say the same thing. But one of these days, the presence of sin is not going to be where we are. There is no sin in heaven. And when we go to that place to be with the Lord forever, there will be no sin there, and we will be free from the presence of sin. Now, you get to choose this morning. Most of us here have already chosen. We've chosen freedom. We've chosen the freedom that comes with Jesus Christ. If the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. There may be a few here this morning that's not made that decision. You're still in the slavery of sin. Hey, I can't think of a better time of year than the day that we celebrate our independence than to claim the freedom that you can have in Jesus Christ. Can't think of a better time of year to do it. Of course, I'll say that about next Sunday, and then I'll say it about the next Sunday. But I can't think of a better time to do it than now, than this Sunday, to receive the freedom that Jesus offers us through what he did on Calvary, through what we pictured in the Lord's Supper this morning. And if you're here, I invite you to come to him. You're a sinner. The penalty for sin is separation from him. Jesus paid that penalty on Calvary's cross. All you got to do is come and take it. All you got to do is come and receive it. The Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Would you do that this morning? Celebrate not only our nation's independence, but your independence from sin. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the simplicity of the gospel. Thank you that we can have freedom in Jesus Christ. That freedom comes because of the price that he paid on Calvary for our sin. And I rejoice that most people here this morning are already living in that freedom. But Father, there may be a few that are here that have never received Jesus. And I pray now, Holy Spirit, that you would convict them of their sin, that you would bring them to the Savior, that right where they sat, they'd ask Jesus to be their Savior. And then, Father, they get up and make it public, walk the aisle, proclaiming that they've received Christ. Maybe there's others here that need to make other decisions, maybe some for baptism, maybe for some for church membership. I pray you'd be clear in your instruction to us, Holy Spirit, and we'd be obedient. So bless this time of invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.